All right. So, what do we want to do first? Do we want to, well, actually, first, let's talk a little bit about our trip. So, we went down on Friday and
We
we
did.
watched Friday's games and we watched Saturday's games. And then we had a relaxed day on Sunday and then we left out on Monday. Why don't
That's
you
right.
talk a little bit about how Friday went? What was your experience with flying across the country and spending 6 hours watching games? What was that like for you?
For me, it was awesome. It was a super early morning. Left at my place at like 3:30 in the morning or something to be able to make my flight. So that was really early and I was really tired. I met up with you in Denver, which was a very lovely city.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, and then we got to make that last leg over into Burbank. And so that was about in the middle of the day for us, and I was already starting to feel a little bit tired. But the place that we were staying was medieval themed, and I would love it if you could tell everybody about that, what that place was like. We got to the place that we were staying, and we weren't there very long before it was time to go to the arena, and we got there early. It was so fun. It was so exciting. We sat in the second row back, which was just, it
An
was something else.
experience.
Yeah. We got to watch these games. 6 hours is, it is a long time. It is. When you think about it, if you go to a baseball game or a football game, they're somewhere around through 2 hours, something like that, some a little bit longer. And here, this was like 6 hours. And so it was just a really long day, but it was so amazing to be in the middle of the arena whenever the players come out and you like high five them, and just seeing a whole bunch of people that are as excited about Overwatch as we are was just like it was way cooler than I thought that it was going to be or that I expected it to be. The matches were super fun. They were all good matches both the days that we were there. So from purely an Overwatch perspective, Friday was a pretty awesome day.
Yeah, the games were all very good. So, as you
They were.
mentioned, we stayed at this medieval themed Airbnb, and I've never done Airbnb before, so I was very suspicious of everything. I wasn't sure whether or not Airbnb was going to be a like safe or cool thing to do, because I'm usually just stay at like a hotel. But this was really cool. So we book this place, and it is like straight up out of Harry Potter or Game of Thrones. There's a full on like dragon's head over this fireplace mantle. There's a
Yeah.
huge table and like chandeliers. There's a suit of armor and all these painted figurines, like
Absolutely everywhere.
yeah, lush fabrics, and like even the walls and the wood that was used to like make this building was like purposely aged to look fitting to that time period. The glass was not like the perfect new glass. It was that like thick air bubbly glass that you would have had, and it was very cool.
And so then it was, well, we met up with some friends of ours during the match, which was just one of the most wonderful parts of it is meeting up with people. But it was a really long day, so Friday we left a little bit early before the end of
Yeah,
the
we did.
London Seoul the London and Seoul match where it was that was when they had the first time they had Rougeron playing Winston, and so
Oh
that was
man.
why it stuck out in my mind.
Well,
But whoa.
and I was so tired that I legitimately almost thought that I was hallucinating when I was like, they're having Rougeron play Winston, like they're having their
You did say
support
that.
play their main tank, and I feel like that was wild. I was like, maybe I'm having some sort of
What?
moment. But it's just like, and it's so funny too, because we got there and we went to this craft store to get all our craft supplies, and then we went to Staples to print out all this stuff, and then we had to go to the Airbnb, and then we had to get to the place, and then we had to wait in line, and then we had to check in, and then we had to sit down, and it was this whole ordeal, which it's like, if I were ever to do that again, I would definitely go the day before I was expected to go anywhere, because that was too much. But we were just so tired by the end of the night. We're like halfway through this London Soul game, and we're like, no, we have to go. We cannot do this anymore. I'm gonna fall asleep in this seat.
And London's my team.
I know it's so funny because the first ma the thing that inspired all this was us watching a London Soul game together and just chilling out on Discord. And it's
Right.
kind of funny that we had to leave when we could see it in person, but that's just how the dice were rolled that day. Alex is
Yeah.
asking, how is it like breathing the same air as Gregoria or Queen? And I will tell you, it was
High-fived
amazing.
me. She high-fived
I
me. It was amazing.
Yes, we got to high five her. We got to touch her hands. There were some girls there that were like screaming as she walked by, Gigari, Gigari. And I said it as she walked
Think it's
by
the
too.
appropriate reaction.
I know, same. But like, it was just really great. And she saw my poster because like I held up my poster for her and she looked at it and she smiled at me. It was so nice. It was such a wonderful experience. Alex said she didn't wash her hand right. It's like, no, never. I always have that in like a
Yeah.
glove from now on.
And I also high fived who I believe to be the best tracer in the world, Sabiobi. And so now I'm just automatically a better tracer player. So yeah, I've had my hand hermetically sealed since that happened, so that my tank play is top notch and my tracer play is like second best in the world.
Well, and
And
Sabiobi,
Sabiobi is so cute.
adorable. He also had, this is gonna sound very creepy, and I recognize that. Zio knows what I'm gonna say, so
I
she's
do.
laughing. But Sabiobi had noticeably soft hands. Like, way so. Like, the majority of the players have, just normal hands, but like, we both looked at one another after that happened and was like, Sabiobi has really soft hands, and that's great. He must take care of himself, or he's like taking pointers from his wife. Maybe his wife's giving him some skincare routine, or maybe he just, like really
Something.
cares about his tools or whatnot, because they are his hands. But they were just very soft. It was very pleasant. It was a wonderful thing from our little soft married man.
And who has the very, very cute puppy. And every time that we talk about, I think this is the way the conversation goes every time we talk about Sabiobi, because they go, he's so cute. And then I go, and then you'll say something about how cute his wife is. And then I finish up with, wow, goodness gracious, they have a really cute dog. I think we've had that conversation just a couple of times. Cracks me up. And all of it's true. They're all cute, even the dog.
It is very cute. You know what else is very cute? They're very adorable. They've been streaming together lately
Oh,
as
so
like
sweet.
Overwatch couples playing, and it's been very, very funny. They're a personality, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So Saturday, we went back. Because I guess we originally were just gonna go one day, and then we figured, well, if we're going to go all the way out there, why not just get, extra $20 for the ticket for the other day and see 2 days worth of matches, which was, other than being so tired, was an A plus choice. So we went back on Saturday, which is the day that we had originally really intended to be there, and it was the last day of the stage. So I think by that point there was only one open question about the stage three playoffs, and that was going to be decided by the first match of the day, the Boston Uprising game. And we had seen really, really awesome play from the Shanghai Dragons the night before. They looked really, really good, and so there was some hope that they might contest or maybe even upset.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
What all were your thoughts about Saturday, especially kind of comparing what Friday was like with what Saturday was like, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just said we should talk about the Shanghai Dragons thing, and I think that is what we need to do to compare it. Because on Friday, I think we were very surprised. So we thought, oh, this weekend's going to be really rough for the Shanghai Dragons because they've been improving a ton, but they're going up against two of the top tier teams, London and New York, which for them, very tough matchups.
Oh, absolutely. For almost anyone, but especially them.
For sure. So Friday was New York and Saturday was London. And the game on Friday was amazing. They really put up a fight against New
They
York.
did. They really did. Gregory played so well.
It was astounding. Everyone in the crowds was cheering for the Dragons. Like, we
So,
all
yeah.
wanted them to win.
Everyone, it was great.
Yeah, and so Alex is saying, I really hope Shanghai Dragons will keep believing in their team and don't trade anyone. They have it, they just need more time. And this is something that we fully agree with because we've been saying for a long time, stage four is the Dragon stage. They're really gonna come in hard this stage.
Yep, absolutely. They're starting to coordinate better, communicate better. What we saw in the New York game was they were finishing off fights and tracking down making sure that they get the clean sweeps in a fight, not letting Divas remake, for example, things like that. And they were starting to focus their attacks more, and they were just doing really, really well. And I think it's just going to keep doing that. It's what we've been saying. And so, hey, Dragons. I think next time I'm gonna have a Dragons jersey because they're
Yes.
my team, man. They're my team.
Okay, so Alex is saying, Gregory's learning English really fast. I die to her, I am hungry tweet. And I'm gonna say that she's learning English so fast, I think, kind of in part to do to the Gregory Discord, because I'm a part of that Discord and there's an English channel in there for, because there's a separate Korean chat and an English chat. And she will come into the English chat all the time and talk to us. And if she's like having trouble with a word, you can tell she's trying to get our like feedback on it, because she'll put like I am juice, and she'll spell juice wrong, and we're like juice, and then she's like, I am juice, I am lunch, I am drank, and so she's trying to like figure out all these different words, and she's like putting them in and getting feedback from us on how to like use that properly, and it's actually been pretty interesting. I've really enjoyed
And
it because
adorable.
it's adorable. It feels like you're getting closer. You're really like having that authentic conversation, and we're all so happy to be like, yeah, you did it.
So sweet.
It's been very sweet. I want to talk about the New York Excelsior and Shanghai Dragons match. So I pulled up the match details here on the Overwatch League website, and let's take a look at it. Okay, so they went four rounds. The first one went to New York. It was 2-1. New York Shanghai Dragons on Volskaya Industries. So Shanghai took a map on that. The second map, Nyumbani, Shanghai Dragons won. So they won a map against New York
Yep.
Excelsior, which is like amazing.
That was the one where they stopped NYXL from
They
finishing.
held them.
Yeah, they held them on that last point.
Yeah, they did.
But then they were able to finish it because everyone was like, look, I mean, yeah, so they didn't NYXL didn't finish the map, but I mean it's the Dragons. They're not gonna finish it. And sure enough, they did.
They did.
You should have heard, guys, just how loud everybody was cheering for them. Not just like as they were about to win Numbani, but like every time there was a fight, Shanghai would like do well. Everybody was just the whole energy in the room was behind the Dragons, and when they were doing well, everybody was cheering for them like every second. It was awesome, and it was genuine support, right? It isn't sort of like this sarcastic sort of, I'm a fan of the worst team. It wasn't like that at all.
No, not at all.
Everybody was really rooting for them, really wanted to see them win, and were so happy when they won Numbani. It was awesome.
Yeah,
It
the energy
was.
in that room was so incredible, just constantly swelling. And I feel like the Dragons have a really core fan base where like just everyone's cheering for them because I mean who doesn't want to cheer for an underdog, but also like they face so much adversity in this stage. They've lost so much, but we can see them coming through and rising up, and that's just the beautiful hope that everyone needs and wants. They didn't rise up so much in the third map, which was Nepal, because they lost that 2-0. But then on map four, we really thought we were maybe gonna see a map five going into New York Excelsior, which would have been incredible because if you think about like the team that has not won an entire map, the entire stage to go up against the team that's been number one throughout the stages, that's incredible. That's an incredible like force that you expect it to just be a flat sweep, a 4-0, and the fact that Shanghai Dragons came in and actually won a map was really incredible. So we went into Route 66 and they won, and New York Excelsior won 3-2. It was very close. They put a really good defense on the Shanghai Dragons did, but it was just not enough. They just couldn't complete it in time to beat New York Excelsior. But just being there and seeing that they managed to take a map against New York Excel was just incredible. It was a great experience.
And yeah, just kudos to them. I'm just such a big fan, and I like NYXL, so it's not a slam against them. But
Not at all.
man, it's just been really awesome to see them improving and trying, and then to see the people just there for them. Somebody said, "Oh, well, don't worry. Once the dragons are done, there's a lot of fans. It'll clear out a lot." It didn't happen because it was the last match of the stage, and there was local LA teams that were playing. So there's this sort of expectation that once the dragons are done playing, a lot of people will leave. So there are people that are there just to see the dragons. This is just so cool.
Yeah, and comparing that game on Friday to the game on Saturday, I feel like London was really coming for that number one spot. Like they just won against Seoul Dynasty, and I think they just really were trying to roll in and come into the finals if they could. They performed really well against Shanghai Dragons. I'm laughing because it was like Friday was just this amazing battle between these two teams. It was just a lot of back and forth. And unfortunately, on Saturday, the Dragons just weren't quite as, either not quite as prepared, or they just couldn't keep up with London. And London just decimated them. It was quite interesting to watch.
Yeah, they kind of did.
But yeah, but London just completely took him out. I do want to note that like there were some really great moments. For instance, I think that Addo had a lot of really great Widowmaker moments, if I'm not mistaken, where he took out some of the widows from the other teams in just like a very impressive move, like on Nyumbani. I think because we've always had moments where we are going, oh, Shanghai Dragons does not protect their supports. And I think they finally realized that they need to do that. And I think there was one moment, was it in the, no, I think it was in the New York game. There was one moment where the Tracer from New York was coming, Sabiobi was coming to land a pulse on their supports. And then Addo just took out Sabiobi and completely prevented that, which ultimately would have won New York Excelsior the game. I don't think you can recover from that. But it was just so impressive to see they've kind of like upped their support of their support. Kind of kept them from dying so that they could keep them alive, and I think that's been a big improvement.
Definitely. I remember seeing that a good bit, like you said, in the New York game, where they were protecting Altering a lot better than they were previously. So he was able to get the reses off that needed to be done to keep them at even strength. And in the past, he was dying before he'd get the res. Then you're down to Mercy, you're down the player. And it just makes you then, even more of a lopsided fight. So I think that was a really, really big step. And then I believe it's Sky who is their Zenyatta player. I saw him step up his game a lot in the New York game. He was not overlapping his transcendences with the Valkyrie. They were using the transcendence to enter into fights a lot less often, and so they had it available later in the fight. So I think that, you know, that support piece is falling into place for them. So they're looking really good.
It was a very interesting couple of matches, and I'm excited to see what Stage 4 has to bring for them. I'm really looking forward to seeing them finally become serious competition, because I think that they really are finally getting the synergy to do that. Hopefully we don't see any trades. So
yeah,
I think that another match that was very interesting was the first match that we watched, the LA Gladiators versus the Boston Uprising, because because there were so many Gladiators fans, because obviously, you know, it's in LA, it's out there, the Gladiators is a local team. I think the majority of the crowd was Los Angeles Gladiators team, so it was like us, the three of us, so it was you, myself, and our friend Darth, and then one random person sitting in front of me in the front row that would just constantly go rise up at the Boston Uprising. So it was like the four
constantly.
Of us. So it's like the four of us, the only people cheering for Boston Uprising. I just think it would have been really cool to see a solid sweep. Like, it's a shame that Boston didn't win against New York, because I think that that would have been a really impressive first one-of-a-kind, just complete stage sweep. That would have been very cool. But they still managed to go 9-0, and that in itself is very impressive.
Yeah.
I think that that was a really fun game to watch. It was very fun to be there and be like the four people that are cheering for the team while everyone else is cheering for the Gladiators and giving us the stink eye. It was a good time.
They would chant shields up, and then over top of them we would chant rise up. That was pretty funny.
That's a good time.
But no, it was really good to see Boston finish out the perfect season, perfect stage, aside from the playoffs. Yeah, kudos to them, especially after everything that their team has been through this stage.
I mean, it was not so fun when they lost one of their players due to scandal, but it was fun to see them come back from that and really rise up, as it were. Ugh, wink, wonk. But to come back from that loss and to really just be like, you know what, fuck it, we're a better team than that, and we're gonna prove it. You know, Dallas Fuel could use a little bit of that. So, although, do we want to talk about Dallas Fuel? I have mixed feelings about it, because like Effect tweeted something where he was like, I feel like I'm the worst player in the world, and I feel like I don't have any point to continue living because I am a failure, and I'm so sorry to you guys. And it's like, what kind of environment is he living in that he feels like he has to say that? No one should.
I tweet about this exact thing. It's awful. He deserves better. What in the world is wrong with the Dallas Fuel? And now I have worries for my team, because Kiki is now a coach for the London Spitfire. So.
They've got some internal stuff they need to work on. Clearly there's some management stuff going on. Alex says, it goes to show more and more that Blizzard needs to have standards to take care of the teams. And I agree. That was that conversation that we had when we had the lovely Alex on, is that they need to provide some sort of counseling, or they need to provide someone that is there to make sure that the team is getting the amount of care that they need. Because ultimately, it's their organization. And I don't think that you can allow teams to have the sort of management that are causing players to have nervous breakdowns. Like, that's not okay. And Effect is a good player. He shouldn't feel that way.
That's exactly right. It's very upsetting. Like what Alex was just saying, mandatory counseling, mandatory time off.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's necessary. And I think that maybe this is my own perspective. It may not be something that everybody else agrees with, but I think that if more of the players had agents, then they have somebody whose job it is. You're laughing at me. Specifically to look after them, to make sure that in their contracts they've got the things that they need to have. That whenever they're negotiating contract or shopping that player to a particular team, that they know whether or not it's going to be culture fit for them, meet the specific needs of the player. Right now, there's nobody really looking out for an individual player for a lot of them. So that may be a thing that is missing, that might help.
Well, and I think that's not the standard right now in esports, and perhaps it
No, it isn't.
should be because, a lot of other in your traditional sports, you do have that person for each individual player. And granted, they are getting paid a bit more, so maybe when things are a bit more secure for esports, we might see that happening. I definitely think it should be happening. They should at least have a players' union because I think what they try to do is they have the GM or the manager of the team and they're supposed to help out, but they can't take care of, 12 people individually. And I do think that you're right, they need that type of agent type care, or at least someone that they can kind of rely on to be like, well, is this choice that I'm making or this thing that I'm doing okay? Or am I getting enough rest? Or where am I spending my time? Do I know my worth? Things like that are questions you're not thinking about when you're just playing a game and thinking, oh, maybe I can do this competitively. You're not having a sort of, how do I represent myself? What is my worth conversation? And by the time you're in the league, is it too late?
Yeah, I mean, and at their age, they are foregoing some key education opportunities right now, and so that is a thing that needs to be navigated. It's not so easy for someone to, they give up school, they go and they play in esports, and if the going gets rough, then for a lot of them, they really can't just go find them out. Because this is now what they're trained to do. This is
Right.
what their qualifications are. And that's great, but that is a limited job market. As we know, there's not a whole lot of people that are skilled enough to play professional esports. And so there's just a lot of considerations that can make a player feel trapped in a contract or just a whole number of scenarios that they need to have, at a minimum, a players' union, and preferably an agent or someone advocating individually for a player, even if it would be a thing that might be not good for another player. You know what I'm saying? Like they need somebody looking out for them because no one else is going to do it.
Right, and so what Alex in the chat is saying is that the teams, as much as they want to say they're for the player, they're for themselves, and having a third party for the player needs to be standard, which we both agree with. We think at the very least they need a union. It'd be great if individually the players could also have some sort of representation, which Zio, you could get into, one day, maybe with your lawyer skills, who knows?
Maybe.
But aside from that drama of the Dallas Fuel, we had a very lovely time. We were so happy to
Indeed.
see a bunch of friends down there. The people that could drive several hours out to see us.
Yeah, it was
I know.
awesome.
And thank you to everyone who came out, Mugsy and her partner and Darth and
Mumsy.
Wubsy and his lovely wife. So it was a
Yeah,
really good
everyone
time.
was wonderful. Yeah, it was so much fun meeting everyone. I think we'd already talked about probably not going to happen in stage four here, but in the season, the second season. I'm talking about like it's a TV show. But next season, I think we talked about trying to find and make some plans to do this again. Now that we have done this once, now we know a little bit
What we do
better what we might
differently.
do to, yeah.
Yeah.
And so with all of that in mind, we talked about maybe planning to do this again next season.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gonna try to see if I can get to the grand finals in New York because New York's not that far from me. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it was really enjoyable, and I think that we should take all that joy and energy we have from that and move on into our predictions for this next week.
Indeed. Before we jump into that, real quick, I wanted to talk about a thought that I had for season two, or whatever, however you're gonna phrase it. We know that they were looking for new cities to expand into,
Yes.
and particularly looking for more More cities in the East and in Europe. So I don't necessarily think we'll find more North American themes right now. Yeah, even though all of them are actually in the US right now, so I can't even really say North America. But anyhow, one of the things that they mentioned was possible new teams in Europe, and they threw out Paris as a possible expansion city. And oh my goodness gracious, that would make me so happy. I love London, but I may have to wear some a jersey for the Paris team, no matter how bad the team is or whatever, I may have to just do that. But that was really exciting, just thinking about how they're going to expand the cities in into next season, and just kind of seeing how they do expansion cities the same way that other sports where they can pull people from other existing teams. It was very interesting. Alex just said she's hoping for a team from Japan.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Just thinking about when season the next season is going to start.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that last one. Maybe we'll see it in January of next year too, because this one started in January. I don't know if they'll wait a whole year or if they'll do it at the end of this year. I don't know. We're gonna find out, I guess. It's all new. I think if the Japan team would be cool, the Paris team would be cool. I really would like a team from like DC. That would be cool, but I worry that it's like too close to New York, that we might not get one, but it would be nice to have a DC team. I mean, it's only the capital.
Right.
Well, I want to ask you why you're so like, why would you be so interested in a Paris team? Like, what's your connection to Paris?
Oh, so when I was growing up, like French was the language that I wanted to learn, so I speak French. I have a tattoo that is all in French, so it's always been a country and a culture that has been close to my heart. And I just that the whole city. Okay, so stage for week one, Wednesday, which is in just what, 2 days? You've got the LA Gladiators versus the San Francisco Shock. You have the team in eighth place taking on the team right behind them in ninth place. So who do you think is going to win, the Gladiators or the Shock?
I'm gonna go with the Los Angeles Gladiators. And my reasoning is so ridiculously silly right now. But I think that we went and watched the Gladiators play. We got to see how they performed against Boston, which was very well. They were intense games with high level play. And so right now I'm just very confident in the Gladiators because of our experience going in person. Whereas the Shock, I don't think I've caught that many of their games. Like I've noted previously that the players are all very talented players and like big names that we know. They just signed a huge name, Sinatra, just like last stage. Theoretically, I should know them and be watching them, but I do not find their matches to be that entertaining or to be that great of game. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they just need to work on their communication, but I don't have that much confidence in San Francisco Shock. So I'm gonna go with the Gladiators.
I'm going with the Gladiators for the exact reason. I think that the Shock is a team that's underperforming given the raw talent, individual talent that they have on the team. I don't know what the missing ingredient is. In some teams, you can maybe pinpoint it a little bit, but with the Shock, I don't know. I am going with the Gladiators. I like what I'm seeing from them. They're definitely a team that's improving.
I would say the next match we have is Seoul versus Valiant. And this should be an interesting matchup because Seoul will be back on their shit, which is to say that they will have been practicing throughout the stage break, and I think they'll be coming back pretty strong. And the Valiant has also had a fantastic showing getting so far as to the playoffs. So I'm gonna say, or like getting up to the playoffs weekend, I'm going to say that I think it's gonna be the Valiant. And that's where I'm gonna put my money because Valiant have really been performing, whereas Seoul has been on a downward curve. And while I think that they're going to try to come up out of that, I don't know if they will be able to do that in time for this match. So I'm gonna go with the Valiant.
I am going to go actually with Seoul. because of Rujehan. I'm always gonna. I think that this is a new and improved Seoul.
I agree.
What we saw from them at the last two matches of this stage, they look really dominant. They look really, really good. And so, while I do believe in the Valiant and they are playing really well, they're, you know, number five. They're right up there in the season long standings with Seoul. I just like what I was seeing with the change up that Seoul has made recently. Mm-hmm. I think it was the thing that they needed.
Yeah, and I definitely hear that. I think Rujehan, I've always said, if you go back and watch these over talks, I've always said, you know, Rujehan forgets he's the support sometimes because he's on the Zenyatta getting all sorts of headshots. And I guess I was right because now he's a tank. Yeah. So I think you're right.
I think he could have tanked on Zenyatta. That's what I think. There are a lot of players that can play a bunch of different heroes at a very high level. Prophet's one of them, right? I don't think that I can name a player that is as good as he is at multiple classes.
Right.
Every once in a while, you'll see a few people pick up other heroes because they're all going to be like grandmaster level players on any hero. But London does it every once in a while. They'll pull one of their supports and put him on Roadhog. They'll do that on Nepal or a couple of different maps. Other than that, it's very rare, but here he is, and he's playing like starting main tank when he'd only been playing when the match that we saw, he had only been playing Winston for 4 days.
Incredible.
It is.
So Alex says, I'm predicting Valiant is going downhill. They're stagnating as much as I love them. And I hope that that's not true, but you may be right. We'll see. They were doing really well enough to be, I think, third in the standings right now. Yeah, they're third in the standings right now, so that's not too terrible. Hopefully they're not on a downward spiral, but we will see. I know that we've talked a little bit about the pressures that they're putting their players under, and with their sister team, we're not particularly fond of that. So I guess we'll see how the stage pans out.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that are pretty close in the rankings, the last match for Wednesday is the Dallas Fuel versus our team, Shanghai. That's the match. That is the match where they win their first one. Here's why. They're doing better and better and better. And Dallas is definitely a vulnerable team. And especially if they don't have effect, I am going to be bold and honestly and seriously and not just like whimsically, hopefully, pick Shanghai to win this one.
I'm going to pick Shanghai as well, and I don't think that it's bold to do so. I think that Shanghai had a very strong showing against New York Excelsior, had a good showing against London, and I think that against a team like Dallas, who just, they don't know who they are, they don't know what they're doing right now, and clearly there's some internal drama happening, I think that Shanghai's got it in the bag.
Me too. I am definitely going to do my best to try and catch that one if my schedule allows me. All right, so Thursday, Boston Uprising versus, and they are currently number two in the overall rankings, but it is Boston Uprising versus the Philadelphia Fusion, who are currently at number six. So, who are you thinking is going to walk away with this one?
I think that I want it to be Fusion. I mean, obviously, I want it to be Fusion, but realistically, I think that it's going to be Boston. They were 9-0 until they went up against New York. So I think coming off of that, they'll be renewed to try even harder, maybe to try to do the same thing in this stage. I'm sure they want to do that. Whether or not they'll be able to, we'll see. But I think that just because of their performance this last stage, They're going to be able to take Philly. So I'm going to cast my vote to Boston as much as it hurts my heart.
I think that you are, I think that you're correct. It's going to be Boston, because they have just been playing so well this past stage. And I do have, before we really move on from this segment, so at the end of all of these predictions, I'm going to talk a little bit about how this is going to be a new meta. But Boston's really been doing well in the current meta. I think that they're just going to keep doing their thing. Philadelphia has really showed that they're a team to be taken
I
seriously.
agree.
And stage two and stage three were both really good for Philadelphia. But in the end, I think that Boston's just right now too strong to lose this one.
I agree. I'm sorry, Froggy. Please forgive me. I love you. Okay, so for the next round, New York Excelsior versus Florida Mayhem. Obviously, it's gonna be. I feel so mean saying that. Wow. Okay, it's gonna be New York Excelsior. I'm sorry that I said obviously, but like, come on, Florida Mayhem. They've had a hard time, okay, and you can't go against the best team in the league. And yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah, I'm picking NYXL. I mean, they're just the only team in the whole entire league that just from the beginning has been at the top, stayed at the top, stage after stage, meta after meta. I think that they're that's gonna be my pick for I'm gonna be hard pressed to pick against NYXL for a good while. And I mean, and Florida Mayhem, they're just not together the way that they need to be. And I don't see the sort of positive momentum building game after game the way that I see in Shanghai.
Yeah.
But anyways, NYXL, and I think it's going to be an easy match. I don't think that Florida's going to put up the fight that Shanghai put up last week.
I don't think so either. And I think that I really want for Florida to improve because I think that there's a lot of really fun and funny members on their team that where they consistently have funny walkout game, like their banter, their social media presence is all very funny. So I feel like, you know, they have the presence to be a very entertaining team. I think they just need to step that play up a little bit. Oh, according to OBE, I need to turn you up a little bit, so I'm gonna do that. And he's saying that Saya player is making them improve rapidly. Well, that's good. Saya player is a name that I recognize as a talent, so I'm hoping that that will bring them a little more into the limelight because they're really entertaining. And if you combine the entertainment value of that team with some actual like gameplay talent, I think that will be a really strong combination, and they'll become one of the favorites. And I would love to see that. Oh, thank you for following. I appreciate it. Yay. Here, I'm turning up your mic a bit, see you.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, so the next game is Houston versus London, and I'm gonna go ahead and say that I think that I'm gonna go for Houston, even though realistically I think that London's going to win just based on their performance on Saturday that we saw. I think they've finally gotten their groove back in terms of coordination, and we've always said that their response, their analytical mind and ability to respond in real time is their greatest strength. So I think that realistically it'll be London, but I want Houston to win. I am such a big fangirl of Muma.
I
I
know, me too,
think
me
they're
too.
great. I think that that entire team is full of people that are just funny and
Love them all.
yeah, exactly. So it's just like, even though I'm like, oh, well, you know, London is doing a lot better right now, I really want to see Houston win. So I'm going to cast my vote that way and hope that my energy leads them into victory.
I am gonna stick with my team, London. Now, especially in stage one of the few teams that could really get to London and win against London was Houston. I think it's still gonna be a good match. Prophet's Junkrat is getting up there to maybe be on the same plane as Jake. And I think with the Brigitte meta, I think that Junkrat's grenades are gonna be a real key counter to Brigitte. So anyhow, I think that London's gonna win. I think they got their groove back, like you said. Their game against Seoul on Friday was really good.
Really good.
They were playing really, really well, both teams were. And then their performance against Shanghai was it was absolutely awesome. And so Prophet and Prophet and Gesture back in action.
So on Friday, we have the Gladiators versus Dallas Fuel. And I think we're going to have the same opinion here, which is that the Gladiators are going to take it. I just don't see, like, Dallas Fuel is going to have to come back with so many changes, like management changes, roster changes, morale boosters. They have to make so many changes to dig themselves out of the hole that they've dug themselves into currently, that I just don't think that they're going to be viable in this stage. Maybe we'll see a swap halfway through and they'll start coming back, but honestly, I don't see it for them. They really need to change up their management. And Gladiators has fantastic players right now. Sure4 is chef's kiss. Fantastic. Like,
Hydration is awesome. We all know that Fissure is the most handsome tank. Like, yeah, they are a great team. They're playing really well. And so, yeah, I think Gladiators are gonna win it. Dallas just has too much foundational work to do to be a serious competitor this season.
So next game after that, we have another East-West matchup, East Coast, West Coast matchup of the Boston Uprising and the Houston Outlaws. So here, I think that it's going to be Boston. I think that they are on the up and up. They're rising up. How many times am I gonna make that joke? We don't know. It's bad every time. But I think that they are just on another level right now. Hopefully they will just keep taking that energy that they got from this stage. I hope they don't take that defeat with New York too badly and they just keep rolling with that. And if they do that, then I think that they can keep that going and maybe they can make it into the grand finals. Wouldn't that be cool to see? I think so. So my vote is for
I think you
Boston.
would. I am. This was a kind of tough call for me. Just kind of thinking about how well Boston has been doing in this late this last stage. But then also thinking about just some of the positive things that you were talking about Houston and just how they have such great players. One of the top tanks in Muma. And so I think that this is not going to be a very easy match for Boston to win, but I think that they're going to win it. I think that they're got too much momentum behind them right now, and I think that they're going to win it.
So then we move on to San Francisco Shock and Seoul. And I'm going to say here that it's going to be Seoul because I do think Seoul is, for the reasons that you said earlier, they've moved some things around, and I would be interested to see what their comp is looking like in this next stage. Is Ruzhehong going to stay on the tank role? They said there were some changes happening, but I haven't seen any yet, and unless I've missed some news, I think it'll be interesting to see what those changes are. Whether or not it's the changes of just like we know that Ruzhehong is a fucking monster and we need to have him in the front lines. Maybe that's what the change is. I don't know. Oh, boo. Look at that baby. Oh, Zio just changed her camera so her cat's in the frame and such a sweetheart. He's just flop snoring. But I think that souls really change things up and they recognize that they had an issue. I said over and over again, souls' biggest problem is that they're not coordinated. They're clearly not communicating. And that doesn't make any sense because they've got so much freaking talent on their team. It doesn't make any sense. They got Ruxiao and they got Fleta. Those two people alone, I think, could just be an Overwatch team. So the fact that they also have other players that are like very talented. It's like I don't understand why they didn't just steamroll the entire stage. And the fact is that they weren't coordinated, they weren't communicating. You could see they would come out and then midway through the map they would just all be separated, not on the payload, just all be in different places, clearly not communicating. And I think that maybe they figured out that like Ruxiao needs to be a leader or they need to make some sort of change. And so because of that, I think that they are going to take this round and I think they'll take it pretty handily.
I definitely agree. I think it's a change in shot calling. Moving him from support to tank puts him in a better position to be the shot caller for the team. And I think that that may be not just is he like a good player, but that may be the thing that's really helping and why we saw such a dramatic difference in their performance the last two matches when he was in the tank role. But I'm definitely picking the Dynasty to win that one for sure. And by the way, Zoe is just as cute in person as she is on the screen. Just wanted to let everybody know. Same with Malik. I love them both.
100%. It was so cool to see her in person. Like she's just this little tiny little woman. But also very commanding presence. And Malik was so nice in person. Like
He was.
so much interaction with people there and like was so nice about taking pictures with people and saying hello. Just very personable, which I think was wonderful because sometimes people are not as personable as they are on screen. And there's no reason for them to be. Like there's no
No obligation to be
Yeah,
like, I'm
exactly.
with you.
So it was really nice.
And it's not just when he's up there on the stage, like where there's cameras on him, you know. So it was even he was walking out as we were waiting for you when you went to go get your shirt signed.
No.
And he was just walking by. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to say hi. He didn't have to smile, nod, or do anything. He just walked right out, and nobody would have thought twice about it. But he was just very nice, very, very sweet. And it wasn't, you could just tell that that was the way that he was. And it wasn't a thing that he did because that's what people expected him to do, being, you know, one of the MCs or hosts. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Whew. So, Saturday, May 19th, we've got Philly versus Florida. And I think here that Philly's gonna take it. Is it just because Florida's really not here right now? Maybe. I think that Philly's definitely been improving and growing. I think that we see Fraggy as one of, a fantastic tank.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's I'm getting worked up thinking about Fraggy. Let me put that to the back of my mind. I think that they just have the talent to take it, and I'm gonna let it go over to you. I'm gonna address what Gigi's saying in the chat, which is that he said, I think that they need to lower the age cap. It limits teams to a certain set of players. Players like Zachary, Wahryu, and Craigie are better than quite a few DPS in the leagues. But there needs to be an age cap, maybe 2 years younger. So like 16 as opposed to 18. I think that I hear what you're saying 100%. Like there's definitely a lot of young talent, and maybe they get burnt out by the time they're 18. Like, it's definitely very hard to live that kind of lifestyle. However, typically when you're 18, you're out of high school. For most case, I wasn't because I have a late birthday, but like typically you're out of high school at that point, you know, you're considered an adult, you can live on your own, you can sign contracts on your own volition, you can sign rent, you know, lease of your own volition. You can't do that under 18. I think it makes a lot of legal sense for the cap to be 18. Otherwise, you run into a host of issues having minors. But I definitely hear your point about talent. And in the Contenders League, is it still 18? Or are you, can you be a bit younger in Contenders? Because I think that is really where the talent farming is happening. You've got a pool of talent in there. And if you can be younger in the Contenders, then you know that could be definitely a place for people. Yeah, these players are still playing in Contenders. Yeah, exactly. So I think Contenders is basically just like a farming ground for all this talent that's a little bit too young to be in the main teams. But Contenders aren't doing the same thing where they're like living in LA all in a house, as far as I know.
I think that's a lot of the reason why. Yeah, they're not. I think one thing with contenders is the longer you keep the younger players in a lower stress environment like contenders, I think it prepares them better for handling all of the non-game stuff that comes along with being a pro in the spotlight. I mean, we were there. Yeah, they're doing LAN competitions, so they can be wherever. But I just when we were there in that arena, it was every bit as intense as being in a regular sports. I mean, it wasn't as big, but it was every bit as intense as being in a sports a regular pro sports event. And it's got to get those young people's minds like all turned around. It's a lot of attention, it's a lot of adoration, and it's great. But they need some experience to handle that before it kind of gets heaped on them. This ties back to kind of what we've been talking about all along, throughout this show, talking about things that they need to do, to support the players.
Right, and so Gigi's saying it's still very stressful. Fusion Uni sometimes scrims from 1 to 5 a.m., which is like, yeah, I 100% hear you. Like, I think that there's definitely a lot of young talent, and they could be harnessed. And I can see why you would want them to be in Overwatch League. I just think from Blizzard's point of view, there's a lot of legal stuff that they don't want to get wrapped up in the Overwatch League because they're hosting them specifically like in LA or in the future in their different cities. So they're all supposed to be like living together and doing all this stuff. And it's like to do that and to sign a bunch of different contracts, you have to be 18. And I think that they don't want the legal trouble of having minors in that kind of situation. And I think that Contenders is a good solution to that, which is probably why they created it. It's a very good point you're bringing up, and I want to thank you for chatting with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that is a very, very good point.
Yeah, I love when we can have
Awesome.
conversation like this because of the chat.
Me too. And that was a very interesting factoid about Fusion University and their how many hours they're putting in. That's a
It's a lot
lot,
of
and that's
work.
r it is, and it's got to be really tough. You know, to either be in school or have a job, and you know, do that those hours in particular. So,
I mean, I know as a
kudos to
teen,
them.
I was to say, I know as a teenager, I was definitely playing games that late, but
But
it wasn't for money, it wasn't for competition. I was just a fucking idiot. So, like, the fact that they're doing that, you know, good for them. And I look forward to seeing some of those names coming up into the actual Overwatch League. I'm interested to see how that, like, farming is gonna go, just switching them over from Contenders into Overwatch League. But like I do want to say that it does make me very happy that we do have some older players as well. Like I'm glad that in some areas it seems like there's not room for older players. It seems like it's like, oh, once you're an older, you know, person when you're playing a video game, it's like, oh, the older you get, the less talented you get. And that's not true at all. You just usually have like other obligations that kind of take you away from playing video games as much. And so you don't have as much time as someone who's young and doesn't have as many responsibilities, which is like unfair, but that's the world that we live in. So it's kind of nice to see some of the older people in Overwatch as well. So there's two sides to that coin. And speaking of two sides, we've got another set of games coming up. Shanghai Dragons versus the LA Valiant. So where do you think we're gonna go with that?
And thank you for bringing us back. I think that the thought had just dawned on me that I needed to bring us back to the last two. But you're already on top of it, just like always, friend. I am picking the LA Valiant. I think that Shanghai is going, this is the same story every match. They are improving. I think that they're going to continue to improve. I think that LA Valiant is probably just a little bit too good for them right now, for the Dragons to take this match. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be maybe a five map match, and I would not be surprised if they did take it. I just don't have enough confidence yet to pick them over the Valiant.
So, I
What's Chomp think about this?
think Chomp agrees with you. And as much as I would like to see Shanghai win, I think that the Valiant will take this one. I'm hoping to be surprised. Maybe we'll see it go to a map five. Maybe it'll be a really big struggle because they did
Yeah.
almost take New York to a map five. It was very close there. Oh, that's right. I turned down my volume to type back to you and then didn't type it. OG was like, you're muted. Yes. So what I was trying to say to him, because he says, I'm 14 and contenders is the highest I can shoot for, because by the time I'm 18, Overwatch is probably gonna be dead. And what I was gonna say to that is that I don't think so. I think that Blizz is a big enough corporation that in 4 years' time, which is 4 years is nothing, it may seem like forever, but trust me, honestly, I swear to God, every older person says this. It's nothing. You will be
It'll
18
fly.
in a flash. And I think that, Blizzard's a big enough corporation and they're doing it in such a way that it's so publicized and so profitable for them that I think that it'll continue to be relevant for quite some time. You have a chance. Don't give up there.
Look at how long World of Warcraft has been around.
Ages.
Yeah, Blizzard will support it. They're sinking too much money into the arenas. They're asking new teams to put $30 to $60 million into a new Overwatch League team. And in order to persuade somebody to put up $30 to $60 million just for the franchise rights, they have to be providing to these investors, to these potential teams, a lot of information about their moderate to long-term plans, plans for expansion, financial projections, and not just what their pipe dreams are, but based on previous performances and based on this research, this is what we expect the profits to be, the profit sharing to be. And so I agree, maybe 30 to 60 million buy-in is a bit much,
Just a little
but
bit.
people are making it, and those are people who no one's doing that like out of their pocket change, right? They are they're having to persuade investors, people with a lot of money, people who are not emotionally at all invested in esports, who are going to look purely at the numbers, purely at the data, and say, yes, this is a good investment, or no, it's not. So I have faith that this is going to be around for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. Don't you worry about it. You keep playing. You're a 4K. Get into contenders. And when you hit 18, we'll get you into a pro team, an Overwatch League team. You're gonna be awesome.
And don't forget us when you're famous. Wink,
Yeah,
wink.
for real. Just give a shout out. When you're the next Mr. 150K.
That's right. And I think that another point to that is that, how long World of Warcraft has been out. They're still doing the arena matches. They're still doing
Absolutely.
that, and it's been forever. And that doesn't get quite the view count the Overwatch League does, but Overwatch is going to be more palatable for the mainstream viewer, I think, than
I agree.
something like PvP arenas. So I think that it'll be a little more longer lasting, have a little bit more production value, and I think they're doing it really well. So there's hope for it to still be around in the future. What we do need to talk about is the future of this Saturday match, London versus New York Excelsior. I think that it'll be New York Excelsior. I think it'll be a match that's going to go to a game five. There's going to be a lot of back and forth. I predict that we're going to see at least one 99% to 99% map. And, one of us will be surprised by who the victor is, who it'll be, we don't know. But I'm going to put my money on New York Excelsior for this match.
I agree with everything. Down to seeing 99 to 99 percent on one of the control maps. Yeah, I think that MOXL is just been too good for too long for me to really to sleep on them, right? I think that they're gonna win it. But man, London, that's my team. I think they're back. I think that they narrowly lose it. And I think they don't let it mess up their map differential too much, which is going to play a big part in the end of the season playoffs. So I think London will lose it, but it won't hurt them too bad.
Gigi says 3-0 Excelsior.
Oh, no. I can't do that. I'm wearing a London shirt. No, I don't think it's gonna be like that.
But we do both think that the Excelsior will come out on top in this round.
Correct.
So that is our predictions for this week coming up, Overwatch League, the new Baguette meta. I feel like it'll be interesting to see when she actually is in the meta, what people do with her, and how people play around her. Like, it's kind of thrown a kink in the works, which is interesting and
It
exciting
has.
and will be entertaining. It might be frustrating for people actually playing in comp, which I'm not doing. Of the two of us, Zio is the one who's actually out there, like, playing on a consistent basis. I'm just the pretty face in the entertainment. But
That you are, but before anybody starts thinking I'm good, in my feed there's a link to a video that I put up of the worst Tracer play of the game ever in the history of Tracer play of the games. It was horrible. So don't go crediting me too much
you're
for
funny.
that.
But I'm just saying, like, I think that it might be frustrating for people who are actually playing in comp right now because she's a bit mutt. I
She
think
sure
that
is.
it will be very entertaining for the people who are tuning in and watching competitive esports to see this complete shakeup. It doesn't happen as much in Overwatch League. Like, for instance, the meta in Hearthstone is constantly changing, constantly shifting, constantly being updated. Every other couple months, every week, things are just constantly changing. You're constantly striving to build the perfect deck. Whereas here, you are really only getting a huge meta shift when there's like a nerf or a new hero is announced. And so I think it'll be very entertaining to watch that.
Yeah, I think it really will too. And it'll be really fun to watch her at the pro level and how these very, very talented players integrate her into their team. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Gigi says all players are only allowed to scrim the 12 teams in league, so no meta is like fully unknown. No, it's not completely unknown, and you can kind of tell from watching people's streams and whatnot, kind of what is going on. But I think as far as comparing like the different stages, it's just kind of fun and entertaining to see the different changes. For instance, like some teams, even though of course they would have known about the Mercy nerf, some teams really struggled after that. They had a really hard time in the meta after that Mercy nerf. So I think that even though they had some time to prepare, it still changes when you're playing against completely different teams. That wraps up our episode today of Overtalk. Unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about, we did our predictions, we played a fun
We
game,
did.
and I think we're pretty good. Bye!
Bye.